Isaiah chapter 45. We're going to start in verse 18. This morning I'm going to talk to you about the incomparable God. The God that we serve who compares to nothing. We should not compare him to anything. He says in this scripture, who will you compare me to? And the answer is we can't compare him to anything because he is above all and he is greater than all. And he is beyond even our own comprehension. How amazing he is. Isaiah 45, starting at verse 18. We're going to read through chapter 46. Verse 45, verse 18. Chapter 45, verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Bow your heads, please, as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of being here in your house and fellowshipping and, Lord, worshiping you most importantly. I pray that you would help us to keep you first and foremost in our lives, Lord. And I pray that you would bless each one that's here, especially our visitors, Lord, that Lord, they would understand that we focus everything that we do on you. Lord, I thank you again for your word. Lord, I thank you for the guidance that we have there and what you teach us from your word. And Lord, I pray that you would be pleased with everything done here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now we'll continue. Verse 19, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. I'm going to touch on what we talked about here, what we read here in chapter 45 first, before we move on to chapter 46. A lot of this goes together, but a couple of things here. We're going to look at some things. We're going to look at, he said, the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth. This God that we serve and worship here this morning is the creator of all that we know. We've talked recently about the stars. We've talked about the planets. We've talked about dinosaurs and all those things. And some of these things, you know, I've never touched a star. And from what I learned in my study about it after I was wrong in that one service, it would probably hurt pretty bad if I did touch a star, but I do know the one who created the stars, the Lord, the God of heaven. So if I were going to look at something and I were going to try to make something like him, well, where to start? Where do you start? He created it all. So you're going to try to take something that he created and make something like him? See the folly of men's thoughts? Our opinions and our religions and our ideas are just that silly. Why do I think I can take anything and put it above or even on the same level as God? It does not work. He created it all. He's a creator. We're going to look at Genesis chapter 1 because I think it pays to go back from time to time and remember those things. Genesis chapter, hold your place here in Isaiah because we will be back. But turn to Genesis chapter 1. Real easy to find. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself, after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Now let's move down to, you can read the rest of this chapter, but for the sake of time, we're going to go down to verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, I read that, and I planned to read the whole chapter, because that is how God created this earth. That's how he created what we see. The heavens and the earth. So, if he, what did he ask them over there? He said, who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning of what? Time. In the beginning of time, as we know it, God created the heavens and the earth. So that means God existed outside of time. God declares everything. He can declare what was here before. And he can declare what will be here after this world. And he does through his word. He is incomparable. He is not to be compared with anything. There is no one like him. There is nothing like him. Take the most powerful thing that man has devised, which I'm not sure this is it, but I'm thinking it might be the atomic bomb. Drop in the bucket to the power of our Lord. It's nothing compared to him. Nothing compares to him. He's the creator. Some people will look at the Old Testament and say, well, that's about Israel. You know, those scriptures don't apply to us anymore. Some people say that. They say that, well, that's the Old Testament. We don't worry about that. We're in the New Testament. But I want you to notice something here, and this is a beautiful teaching here. Look in verse 22. What does he say? Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. It didn't matter if they were Jews. It didn't matter if they were Gentiles. It didn't matter if they were, Jews and Gentiles covers it all, I guess. It didn't really matter. He said, look to me, all the ends of the earth, and you'll be saved, because I am God, and there is none else. Very similar to what we see in John chapter 3, where Jesus told Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," not whosoever is a Jew or whosoever is of this ethnic background or that ethnic background, "but whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." See how Scripture relates to each other? He says here, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." There were some scriptures in the Old Testament that related directly to the Jews and only to the Jews. It was a part of their law, the way of worship that God had established for them. But let's don't dismiss them out of hand, thinking that they don't apply to us at all. Listen, just as there was one God at this time, there is none else. Same today, there is one God. There is none else beside him. No matter what man has tried to create. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." Let's go on and read chapter 46, and then we're going to look at a couple of other topics regarding this. "Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. Their idols were upon the beast and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. They are a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but themselves are gone into captivity. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you." That's gray, by the way. "I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and will deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver in the balance and hire a goldsmith and he maketh it a god," lowercase g. "They fall down, yea, they worship. They bear him upon the shoulder. They carry him and set him in his place, and he standeth. From his place shall he not remove. Yea, one shall cry unto him, yet can he not answer, nor save him out of his trouble. Remember this, and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Hearken unto me, ye stout-hearted, that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness. It shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like?" And then he, in verse 6 and 7, it's very interesting that he talks about how that they'll bring a bag of gold and they'll take their gold out and they'll give it to a goldsmith and say, "Here, make me a god out of this gold." And then, so he goes about, they pay him to do his work, and he forms a statue of some kind or something out of this gold. And then what do? Well, they have to come pick their god up, put it on their shoulder, and carry it back to their house and set it up on the shelf or wherever they're going to worship this god. And then it's going to sit there. Excuse me. It's going to sit there on the shelf. And they're going to say, "Oh, help us, oh, whatever your name is, golden god of something." And they're going to bow down and they're going to pray to it. And guess what? It's going to sit there just like it did when they put it there. Does them no good. It may make them feel a little better. But when they start getting silence, they and no movement, out of this little statue. Has anybody seen Night at the Museum? Y'all seen that? I love that show. That's a pretty cool movie. But see, that's not real. Some people think that statue has some inherent power in it. But it doesn't. It was created by the God who does have the power. From him. Now, that little statue is pretty silly, right? But here's what we tend to do. We tend to put our faith and our trust in men or other people. And I'll tell you where it most of the time fits. Where we most of the time place our trust is in ourselves. There's so many self-help books and self-help seminars. They make tons of money off that stuff. And it's all built on the premise that you can help yourself. Well, guess what? God's salvation is all about you can help yourself. Only He can help you because there is no God like Him. None else. A lot of times we put ourselves on a pedestal. Put us on the counter and we say, okay, well, what are you going to do today for me here? We're looking to the wrong place. God is God. There is none like Him. He is the one who can justify and make us righteous. Do you know we can't do that? Romans chapter 3, please turn there with me. Verse 10 is where we're going to start. So you say, well, why do we care? Why do we need righteousness? Why do we need to be justified? Here's why, because an unrighteous thing, creation, which is what we are, cannot fellowship with the righteous God. It cannot happen. It's incompatible. We are incompatible with God when we're born. So we needed someone to come between us and God and justify us, give us righteousness. Because you see, as good as I can try to be today, and I know this is going to be, you're probably going to think back to our lesson a couple of Wednesdays ago when I said you can not sin, but you can't be sinless. I can choose not to sin. I can serve the Lord. I can follow His will, and I can choose to not sin. He told me not to sin, but it doesn't mean I'm sinlessly perfect. There's a difference. But there was one who came, lived and died completely, sinlessly perfect. And he can make me righteous and justify me in the eyes of God and bring me back into fellowship with God. Romans chapter 3. And I'll try to hurry. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, here we go, verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, the righteousness of who? God, not me, but God, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. And then the first part of verse 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded. This same God created this world, also came as a babe in Bethlehem to shed his blood so that you and I could be redeemed back to God, reconciled back to God, justified, made righteous, but not our righteousness, his righteousness. His righteousness imputed to us in the place of our filthiness and unrighteousness. Isn't that wonderful? This God who compares to no one, there's no other God besides him. No one like him. Humbled himself to be a baby for one reason, so that we could have his righteousness, that we could be justified in the eyes of God. We could stand before God, not on our own account, but because of him, we can stand before God justified and righteous. And now I can serve him. I can follow him. He's righteous. And as if we needed a reason beyond what we've already talked about, he is worthy of worship. Revelation chapter 4. Verse 1 is where we're going to start. Actually, we're just going to touch on one verse here. Verse 11. Or verse 10 and 11. Sorry, two verses. The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The next chapter, chapter 5, we see a book that needs to be opened. And John, the Revelator, John the Apostle, writer of this book, but inspired by God, he wept because there was no one who could open the book of the judgments of God. And they said, and this is, again, paraphrasing, guys, weep not, for the Lion of Judah has prevailed. And he turned, and you know what he saw? I don't know what he was expecting. We don't know what was going through the mind of John. But he saw a lamb as it had been slain. And the lamb walked up to the throne and took the book and was able to open them because he was worthy. He was worthy. Jesus was the Lamb and the Lion. And he's the only one worthy of our praise and power and honor and glory. We've said this many times. I just want to make sure it's clear this morning. God is three in one. When I say there's none else beside God, no one like him, that includes all three, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. They are all God, and they all deserve our worship. They are worthy. He is worthy. Now turn back to Romans chapter 5. The other promise that he made there, in Isaiah, the other promise in Isaiah was about the Savior. I'll read that for us real quickly. Tell me, or tell ye, and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God, and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Romans chapter 5, therefore being justified by faith, remember we talked about the faith in Jesus is what saves us and justifies us. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now, I want to look at verse 8 in light of what we've already looked at this morning. God compares to nothing and no one. He is above all. There is no other God beside him. He is righteous. He is holy. He is the justifier. But verse 8 is a beautiful verse, because I want you to think about the ramifications of this. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Notice, God, the great God, the Almighty God, the only God, beside him there is none else, commended his love toward me and toward you, that while I was a sinner, an enemy of God, against God, Jesus died for me so he could reconcile me back to himself, so that I could have peace with God. Have peace with God. That's a wonderful blessing. Why? Why would God care? There's none righteous, no, not one. There's no reason for him to do that for me, but his love. And he commended his love to me while I was a sinner, an enemy. He died for me so that I could be saved and have peace with him. This great God, incomparable, incomprehensible. Because you explain that to me, if you can. I can't, besides thank God for his love. His love. He said, scarcely will a man die for a righteous man. Some would even give their life, and there are some who give their life for this nation and for other people. The police are often putting themselves in harm's way to protect me and you. But you see, there's a difference. Jesus had no sin, was therefore not facing death, but he took it for me. You see, that's the difference. Yes, we honor those, and we appreciate everything they do for us. But listen, they still don't compare to what Jesus has done for me. and for you. If you've accepted him as your Savior today, I pray that you'll be more steadfast in your following of him. If not, I pray that today would be the day that you would accept him as your Savior. Today is the day of salvation. He did it. He took care of all of it. All we have to do is accept him. Whosoever believeth on him shall have everlasting life. That's what, how much easier could it be? Again, this great God, he did it all for me. All he wants me to do is accept it, believing on him.